welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, everybody.
We are on the 10th?
Yes. 10th sounds good.
Probably more, but who knows. We're on the 10th one. Episode of this first appearance arc that we're doing. If you want to check out our previous 9, go check those out, please. And this one is about the X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men.
Uncanny X-Men number 1.
Dun, dun, dun.
Printed in 1963 by Marvel Comics. The writer is Stan Lee. The pencils was Jack Kirby. Ink was done by Paul Raymond, and letters by Sam Rosen. Now, I'm going to ask you, who are the X-Men? Who's the first X-Men? The first 5 X-Men, I'll say that.
It was Cyclops.
What's their names? The actual names?
Scott Summers.
Okay.
Jean Grey.
Okay.
Bobby Drake.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think. The fourth one was would have been Hank. Flex Beast last name.
McCoy.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Professor Xavier.
Okay.
Or does he not count?
Well, he doesn't count on this one. The one with the wings.
Oh, Angel! I forgot about Angel. Worthington. Something Worthington the Third.
Warren Worthington the Third.
There you go.
You are wrong.
Damn.
The first, what you said, Scott Summers? Nope, wasn't Scott Summers. His name was Slim Summers.
Scott Slim Summers.
It became Slim.
Yeah.
It became Scott in issue number 3. I'm reading this, and it comes as they say his name is Slim Summers. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's because you don't mess around with Slim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. Also, Professor X doesn't talk through like half this. Like, verbally talk. It's all mentally. He looks like a fucking psycho killer.
Holy shit!
At the same time, Bobby Drake looks like he just
got... A pole dancer.
Literally just got done pole dancing. A
snowman pole dancer. Because this is before he can make his body look like ice.
Yep.
So it looks like a snowball.
Oh, yeah. No, there's actually at one point in time when they're training, Professor X lets him joke around for the first 5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
And he grabs a hat and button eyes and a nose or carrot nose.
Oh,
and becomes
man.
Frosty the Snowman.
That's creepy.
It's not good. It's not. It's. But anyway, we're back on track here. Yeah, so Xavier he has this school and he's going to test his X-Men. As of right now, it's just Cyclops, Iceman, Angel, and Beast. Jean Grey has not shown up yet. But he puts him through training. And apparently the training is take care of him and do his every whim. Because first thing they do as soon as they get into there is, oh, let's make sure that we lean back his chair and pull up his... You're dying over there. They have to make him comfortable.
And it went down the wrong pipe and it just hasn't settled since.
Sorry. All the time. But yeah, so he puts him into training. And he is very, like, rigorous. Is that the right word? Like, you have... All right, you have to do all this maneuver, but you have 3 seconds to do it. Go. The fuck, dude?
Wait, what?
But they've also been training for most of... Well, they never actually say how long. But training enough to where, like,
Beast... Apparently long enough to where they can actually do this.
Well, yeah, like, Beast, he tells him to grab onto the pole, start swirling faster. You have 3 seconds to do it. And he's doing it. And Professor X is like, all right, when I tell you to let go, you let go. And you have to land on your feet. No, you have to land on this... Balance on this pole. And you got 5 seconds. And go! So he, like, bounces around, lands on the pole. He's doing, like, a one finger balancing on the pole. I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then even, like, the pole itself, like, Scott Cyclops is, like, moving it, and he has to keep his balance, and he does. He slips up a little bit, But he lands perfectly on his feet in front of Xavier. It's like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. Angel pops in, and he's a cocky little bastard. He's like, oh, I got this. And Bob gets his wing singed because...
Yeah. Well, I mean, Angel's Angel. Cocky. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Iceman is dumb.
Which carries over, I mean.
That's just normal. Although, I'll get to that here in a minute. But he does, like I said, Professor X gives Bobby, Iceman, like a couple minutes to just horseplay because he's the youngest of the group.
Get it out of your system, that way you
kinda
can focus.
And then, but even then he's like, well, if they're not going to take me seriously, then I'm just going to do this, and becomes the Frosty. But at the same time, Xavier's telling Beast to, like, all right, well, while he's not paying attention, you throw this bowling ball at him. It's training, I guess.
Yeah. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
That was a monkey wrench.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
So he does, and Bobby is, Iceman is paying attention, so he forms like a snow chute barrier thing that, just similar to just a slide, it comes up and then goes flying back.
Oh.
I mean, it's...
This is like Bugs Bunny bending the barrel of the gun.
Yes, basically that. Although those physics totally work.
I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But it shows, you know, that they are really well trained. And then Xavier is like, all right, Cyclops, attack Beast and Iceman. It's like, okay. And Cyclops is like, well, I mean, I guess if you tell me to, sure, why not? Yeah, he puts it on a low setting so it doesn't hurt them. But
pew pew laser beams.
But Beast was caught off guard and he gets like thrown into the wall, like imprinted into the wall.
Damn.
So
that's on low setting though, it's fine.
Yeah, basically. And then they all kind of like dogpile on him to stop him. Because Xavier's like, all right, now you all have to stop Cyclops, could do it. And they do. And then as they're in the middle of that, he's like, all right, that's enough. Let's know her. We got somebody coming. And they're all like, wait, what? What? Who's coming? I smell girl. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. No, there's this young... And Xavier even says, you may be interested to learn that at the very moment I sense a taxi approaching our main gate, within that vehicle is a new pupil, a most attractive young lady.
Creeper.
I mean, they were always pretty... There was some interesting things going on with those two over time. But, of course, everybody is rushing to the window.
Wait,
looking
somebody
out.
Say girl? It's like being at work again.
Yeah, right? So they're all like, oh, yeah, he definitely looks attractive. The only one who is not, like, looking on is Iceman. Which, I think I told you in the future, Bobby gets revealed to be gay, which makes no sense for like some of the stories when he's like dating girl. I think like the Spider-Man story that he popped up in our couple first issues, he's dating somebody.
Yeah.
A girl. So I guess this kind of leads credence to it. At the same time, he could just be young enough that he's not
interested
yet.
I don't ever remember being that young.
Right. Like, I might have been 9.
Yeah.
Maybe 8.
Yeah.
And these guys are teenagers? Whatever. But anyway, so Jean comes in. She's like, I don't know why I'm here. I heard you tell me in the voice to come here. So I didn't tell my parents. I didn't do anything. Why am I here?
Oh my God, he's a child abductor.
Right there. So, yeah.
Originally, this was supposed to be called the XXX Men.
Anyway. But yeah, so
that's
all
of them
are...
That's a whole different parody. Look it up. No. I bet you there is, though.
Oh, I guarantee there is. But yeah, this is where Xavier introduces everybody and introduces Summers as Slim Summers.
Yeah, I'm the Slim Summers.
Which just so... It threw me off guard at first. I knew his nickname was Slim.
Yeah.
Because I knew that from some of the comics. But... When he's like, oh yeah, that's Slim Summers, our human Cyclops. Like, wait, no. What?
So in this one, does Cyclops only have one eye?
No, he's got two. Anyway. But then she kind of displays her powers of telekinesis.
Yeah.
And you got Xavier with an ever-expanding forehead. Jack Kirby art, man. Can't get away from it.
But that is one thing that stuck with Professor X all throughout the comics was his big, huge forehead.
The bald head, yeah.
Okay.
Now, it didn't get as big, though. Like,
do you remember, though, in the TV show where he had those creepy fucking eyebrows?
Yes! Yeah, the wizard eyebrows, but like the giant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vulture brain. Well, because I guess even here he kind of has it.
A little bit.
But not as bad.
Yeah, not to the extreme.
We get Beast trying to do his best to catch Predator routine here. Macking on Jean. And she's like, fuck you! And like throws him, twirls him around, throws him on the couch.
With her mind? Or with
her mind. And then we get... his head gets bigger.
Wait, does it really?
Kinda.
You're right, it does.
Then we get introduced to Magneto. Xavier is kind of sensing something going on.
I sense a disturbance in the Force.
And Magneto is at Cape Citadel, which I think might be the same one. I have to double check, but it might be the same one that Captain Marvel, like Marvel, is at.
Oh, like, I think you're right.
Goes to.
Yeah.
So, like, I think we're about 2 or 3 years away from his first appearance. And we will touch on that in a later episode. That was kind of interesting. But Magneto's the no Brotherhood of Mutants at the moment. This is just him. And he's trying to take these rockets and basically try to control the base.
Yeah.
Like, this rocket...
Exactly secret, what you'd expect.
Secret be. Weapon, I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'm using, quote, secret weapon here.
Because everybody knows about
They're going to fire it off to test it. Let's test this rocket. Well, Magneto, from outside of this base, is able to control this rocket and crash it into the ocean. Well, in the papers the next day, it says, 6 top secret launchings fail at sea. let me tell you that again. 6 top secret launchings.
Well, they were only top secret until they got launched.
Mm.
And then they had to tell everybody about them so that everybody knew about their failure.
But then this one paperboard is like, extra, extra, another missile fails. Okay. Regardless, the very next day, Magneto is like, all right, well, they didn't take my warning. They didn't, which you didn't even give them any kind of warning, but whatever.
They should have known what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, it gets better. So he starts controlling the guns and the tanks, kind of going off on their own, attacking everybody. And then he takes whatever scrap metal is around, and similar to Reed Richards putting Fantastic Four in the sky, he writes, "Surrender the base or I'll take it by force," and actually signs in cursive his name.
That's impressive, actually. Magneto's got some mad skill.
Yeah.
Like, remember, hey, look, Magneto's powers are within my top 10.
Oh, Magneto's great. He's a great character. He's like an idiot right here, though. Like, I know that's more of the writing time. I can't get around that. But ultimately, the base is like, well, we're not going to surrender. We're just double up security. And
Send some more metal out there. We can take this guy.
Magneto's like, well, that's not what I wanted. So he uses his magnetic powers, takes control of a rocket, and shoots another one into the ocean. And all of the generals just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. This is bullshit. Until Magneto comes just waltzing up. And it's like, all right, so you guys are going to give him the base? Never! And the guy, like, goes to pull his gun, but can't pull the trigger. Because Magneto.
Yeah.
And then he somehow... I get, like, he does magnetism, but he, puts this shield to where no one can move. I guess I didn't know he could control people. It's weird.
Yeah. Let me see a picture. I'm curious.
Well, like, he kind of... put them all in like a bubble, like a little magnetic barrier so that they can't get through.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, and then eventually he's able to push them all out of the base, so now he's the only one in the base.
And this is where our heroes come in.
Kinda. One thing that got me, so the very next panel is Jean now in her Marvel Girl suit.
Right on.
But it also, it seemed to me like she had changed right there. Because in the background, you've got Scott, Hank, and Warren, like, popping their head.
Around the corner.
Around the corner. I guess Iceman, Bobby's there too. Around the corner, like, did they literally just watch her change? What it was, she changed, came out, and was, like, fixing her hair, apparently. I don't know.
Right.
But they're all, like, you know, they're just infatuated with her, because...
because it's a girl.
Because it's a girl. And then Xavier comes in, and he's like, all right, guys, or everyone, we need to go to Cape Citadel. We need to go and stop the first evil mutant that has shown up, and we will do this, and you will do this right. You have 15 minutes to get ready. Go.
I can't even get my spandex on in that time.
Well, I mean,
I guess, yeah.
Angel himself has to take off his suit, which he also folds and puts back on the hanger properly. Impressive. Good for him. But then he has to take off the other suit, which is then housing his wings underneath. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's going to take him longer than 15 minutes, I think.
Exactly.
But then they hop into Xavier's pimped out Rolls Royce.
Is that what it says?
Kinda.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
The Xavier specially built Rolls Royce, so pimped out Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
It's got, like, blacked out tinted windows.
Gotcha, so they can't see in there.
And I think he's driving. Yeah, don't ask me.
He's probably got the
maybe stick shift.
Well, they've got
I know they got specialty vehicles for that.
But no, actually, all the Rolls Royces were sticks, so that would be really impressive that he could...
it is specially built, too. So
maybe he...
And he's pretty rich.
Yeah.
He has a whole mansion.
Yeah.
But then he stays on wherever his private airport is, because the jet he takes him to is not, you know, underneath
the mansion.
The mansion like it is nowadays. But he takes him there. And then he's mind controlling the jet from the ground in, I can only assume, Manchester, where the mansion is. They don't ever say.
Yeah.
We can only assume. So New York, flying all the way to Florida, pretty damn good for his powers. And obviously the rest of the X-Men are in the plane. They do get down to Cape Citadel and they go to attack. Like I said, there was like a magnetic barrier around the base and no one could get through, but Cyclops is able to, going like full power, blast a hole and blast the field enough to
disrupt it,
to throw off Magneto. And he's actually kind of like taken aback. Like he's like, I don't know what's going on. This is weird. And then he sends missiles after them. Like, apparently heat-seeking missiles after the X-Men.
Hopefully it's going after Iceman.
It ends up actually going after Angel more than...
because that way he can show off his aerial abilities.
Kinda. But Iceman does, like, ice over 4 of the 5 missiles that are thrown, which is kind of cool. Beast is able to grab a hold of the 5th one, and then Jean takes it and throws it into the ocean.
Right. So they polluted our oceans a lot.
They do.
Fucking cunts.
Stupid mutants, right? Yeah, so they
don't care.
They stop Magneto because that's just what they do. And he goes running off with his tail between his legs. The thing that got me though was this general. He's just like, "Oh, X-Men, I've never heard of you. But I'll make sure that everybody knows how good of a job you guys did today. We'll make sure to call on you in case anything else ever happens again."
Right.
Well, my thinking is, my whole thought process here is, we are used to mutants being ostracized.
Yeah.
And this one, they're shaking Cyclops' hand. Like, thank you for your help. We appreciate it. So I'm actually interested to know, at what point in time did it change from these guys are helpful to kill all mutants? I'm assuming it was early-ish.
They probably found out that it wasn't profitable to have mutants around, so then they had to kill them off so they could keep the status quo.
Damn. A little rough. Who knows? I don't know. So, and that's the end of that one. I actually really enjoyed this one. It was really, really fun to read.
Sounds like it was a lot better of a story than the last one we wrote.
Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah. And only a couple years apart, too.
Yeah.
Because this is 63, that was 60.
Yeah.
So they learned, I guess. Good job, Stanley.
No.
Stanley wrote this one.
Yeah, but he didn't write
Justice League. I know. He learned from their mistake.
Gotcha.
If only DC could have done that with their cinematic universe.
You're cut that out.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more first appearances.